Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
It is week three of the Game of Life. My name is Mark, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here. It's exciting to see everyone here. You probably didn't know what we were going to talk about, or you would have brought your mom and dad today, I'm assuming, right? No, I accidentally brought my mom and dad today. They're here, so I won't point them out, or they'll probably tell awkward stories about my childhood. But I have them here, and so I'm hoping that at no point do I offend them or hurt their feelings. But these last few weeks, we've been talking about life and how life catches us off guard. The game of the life board game, if you've never played that, sometimes you just find out that you lose your job. Sometimes you find out that you had to buy a car, you had to pay taxes on it. There's something that you didn't know was coming. And honestly, we can probably admit that life is the same way sometimes. There's a saying that we've been talking about that they say that life is what happens while you're making other plans. And so sometimes you didn't know that you would lose your job. Sometimes you didn't know that that person was going to break up with you. Sometimes you thought that the people closest to you would treat you differently or treat you better. And so life can definitely catch us off guard. And that's what this series is about. And so a couple weeks ago, we started this off and talked about this simple concept that no matter what life throws us, no matter what our families look like, no matter what our life looks like, we should be able to let our lives be a billboard for God's greatness. We should be able to be excited about what he's doing and let people see his presence in us. Last week we said that when God is involved in our lives, sometimes there's discipline from a father that needs to take place, and we shouldn't be dreading that or looking down to that or shaking in our boots. We should be in a weird way excited about that, because God's discipline has purpose in our lives, and God's purpose shows his love. God's discipline shows his love. And so the overarching theme of this whole series is not if God is going to use the unpredictability of our lives and if God is going to use our family in our lives to mold us and to shape us, to discipline us, to form us. But the question is how is he going to do it? Because we know that he has put family in our lives. He's put people in our lives for a reason. God designed the family. God wants the family to exist. And so even though sometimes we're not always excited about everyone in our family, we won't ask you to name names today, but we know that God has a purpose behind that, and God has a design behind that. And so next week, we'll be talking about siblings. So if you want to bring your brother or sister, if you've got issues with them, that'd be a great week. But this week is mom and dad week. And so I thought, what better way to kick this week off? My mind went where it always does. Why not show an 80s hip hop video, right? Because that's an obvious answer. And that's really what my life revolves around. So this is just a little clip that might take you back to your childhood or might have happened before you were born. But go ahead and check this out. All right. Well, we will... We'll end that one right there. Just wanted to give you some context on this morning. If you've never grown up in a graffitied room with a million-dollar movie star in your family, now you know what it's like. Some of you are thinking like, wait, the Fresh Prince can rap? It's true. He had a career before you knew him as Will Smith. Don't be confused. But that movie and that video lets us in on the fact that the struggle is real, right? Although that's funny, although you're thinking, is Mark purposely trying to match the clothes from that era? No, I'm not, but I realize that as I watch this video. We can watch that video, and it takes us back in time, right? We remember some of us growing up. We remember the struggle or the clash with our parents. Some of you are living in that struggle now. Some of you are at a different phase of that struggle right now. But we know that at times, kids and parents seem to be in opposition, and there seems to be just disagreement and different things going on. And so, like I said, some of you are in that situation now. Some of you are working through that situation. Some of you remember that. But we all had a time where we probably did something. We got in trouble. We got grounded. We snuck out anyway. And eventually, mom and dad have to speak into our lives and have to discipline us and have to say something. And so we want to look at this morning, what does God say about the relationships in our family? And specifically, what does God say about the relationship that we have with our parents? Are we supposed to obey them? Are we supposed to obey them for the rest of time? Are we supposed to honor them? What does that relationship look like for someone who is still living at home, someone who is under 18, someone who is in college, someone who's married and 50? We've got a lot of different people in the room, and so we want to take a look at what should our relationships look like with mom and dad as we seek to honor God. And so I want to invite you to turn in your Bible this morning. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, You can pick up one. There's one under your chair or around your seat somewhere. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. can look in the table of contents if you're not sure where we're turning, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and this is a very famous passage as you talk about mom and dad and mothers and fathers, and yet we want to read this and see what it has for us. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can take that Bible that you are holding home with you today. We'd love for you to have that, be able to read that, and just begin to study God's Word and see what He has to teach us. So let's turn together, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. I'll read, you can read along, feel free to take some notes. It says this, it says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." So right out of the gate, they're not kidding around, right? I mean, this passage gets right to the point, and it says, "Children, obey your parents." Now, here's the kicker, I guess, that I want you to know. There's a little bit of a guilt trip on the end there. It says, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. So if you're thinking like, I have no interest in belonging to the Lord, I have no interest in the Lord owning me or giving Him my life, I guess you're off the hook today, all right? You can treat your parents however you want. But if you're someone who has said, I want my life to reflect Jesus, I want my life to honor Jesus, I want my life to be lived for Him, this verse is for you. And it's saying, children, obey your parents. Now, who's a child? Child is someone that has a mom or dad, right? Someone who's been raised by someone else. And we know that there can be different situations where that can be a definitive biological thing, and it can have other boundaries, and it does for my own family as we've adopted. But we all know what a mom and dad are, right? It's someone who has invested in you, someone who has looked out for you, someone who has raised you, and someone who is protecting you. And so if you have one of those people or a couple of those people, you're all picturing someone, right? You're picturing mom or dad. That's who this is talking about. It's saying if you want to honor Jesus, if you want to honor Him with your life, those are the people that you should obey. But I think what's neat about that is it kind of has a few different words here. And I think first it's speaking to people who are still very much dependent on their parents. Now, I know some of you don't want to put your hand up if I would say, how many people still have mom and dad pay their car insurance? You wouldn't be pumped to brag about that because you're trying to flirt with the girl that's sitting in your row, right? And you don't want her to know that mom and dad still pay your car insurance. But there are different scenarios, different situations in life where sometimes we're still on their insurance, or sometimes they're helping us pay for college, or sometimes we're 12 and we're living in their house, and we get everything from them. They pay for everything. Our world revolves around them. We can't drive. And so sometimes we're young, sometimes we're college age. But there are many people in this room that in one way or another are still dependent on mom and dad. Now what I'm about to say might hurt your feelings. It might offend you, but I'm just going to say it, all right? If you're still dependent on mom and dad, in my opinion, this verse is pretty cut and dried. Pretty black and white. This verse says, if you're still dependent on mom and dad, you need to obey them. Period. I know that culture likes to say, well, when you're 18, you can do whatever. No, if you're 18 and your mom still picks out your clothes in the morning, you need to obey her, all right? And I know you're thinking, no, I pick out my own clothes, I buy them too. But if you're 18 and your mom still pays for your gas, or your dad still pays for your gas, or they're helping you with college, I'm not saying that's bad. I was a part of that same system. It worked out pretty well, right? Have them pay for college and then you move out right after. Sorry about that again, guys. I feel really bad. But it's a good system, right? Right? But if that is the scenario, if that's the case, you need to obey your parents if you're dependent on them. Period. If you are dependent on your parents, obey them. I think that verse is very clear. Now, here's the other question that we can have. What does it look like if you're independent? What does it look like if you've moved out? What does it look like if you're paying your own way? What does it look like if they're not picking out your clothes anymore? What does it look like if you're a real adult and you're excited about that, right? Well, verse 2 kind of gets at that. It says, if you're independent, you've moved out, and all of those things are so, the conversation kind of switches from obedience to honor. Honor's a trickier word, right? We start to think like honor, okay. Obedience, we know what that is, right? Because we're taught that at the age of 2. You will obey your mother and father. You know what that means, right? But if you're independent, you have to kind of learn what it looks like to honor your parents. And so what does it look like to honor someone that you're not really subject to anymore? I've got to be honest, as I do premarital counseling and as I meet with couples and we talk toward getting married, this is one of the biggest things, one of the craziest things that I see in modern culture is there are a lot of people who can't let go of their parents, but even more than that, there are a lot of people who can't let go of their kids. And so what does it look like to honor someone when you're trying to be an adult, you've moved out, and they're calling and texting you and asking you to come over for dinner 5 nights a week? Think I'm kidding? That's a conversation I've had this year. 5 nights a week, all right? What does it look like to honor someone and love someone, tip your hat to someone, and yet have a healthy distance? What does it look like to honor someone that still asks if you need your laundry done? I don't know, but we're gonna find out together, right? So this is where I think this book really speaks into this. And so I want to give you the backdrop of Ephesians 6. This is Ephesians 5. If you want to turn back a page, Ephesians 5, verse 1 says this, and this is kind of an overarching theme of this whole section of this book. It says this, Ephesians 5, 1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. This passage very clearly is setting this theme up and setting this book up. It's saying, imitate God, live your life to honor him, and live a life filled with love. That's what that looks like. And so this chapter and these couple chapters goes on to talk a ton of different topics. I mean, not to get weird here, but this passage ends up talking about sex, and it ends up talking about sin, and it talks about the Holy Spirit, and it talks about marriage. But it's saying, live a life that honors God, live a life filled with love. Ephesians 5 at one point even says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, setting the tone for what it looks like to live relationships in life, and what it looks like to have family, and what that interfacing looks like. So we've got this double foundation set. It says the backdrop is that we should honor Christ, love Christ in all that we do, and submit to him. And then the second part says that when we're submitting to people, when we're following people, when we're looking to people, we're really following Christ. And so this theme is all throughout this book, and this theme of honoring our parents is all throughout the Bible. So I want to skip back to some Old Testament passages. You don't have to turn there. You've heard this one, but this is Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20, where we get the Ten Commandments, says this, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So those are kind of the same verse. This is something that's repeated over and over again. If you want to live for God, if you want to honor him, here's what it looks like. Honor your father and mother. And even in the Ten Commandments, that passage is put on par with murder, with some pretty heavy stuff in the Ten Commandments, right? Those are the 10 big ones, things that really meant a lot and still mean a lot and set the tone for morality. And so this theme of obedience and honor and living a life of love in all of our family relationships is a consistent thread all throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all through Ephesians. And it doesn't just put the responsibility on you, the kid, or us, the kids. It says that the parents have to have a part in that. Verse 4, back in Ephesians 6, says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So I want you to know this. The job of a parent is discipline and instruction from God. The job of a parent is discipline and instruction from God. We talked about that. We alluded to that in some ways last week. This is touching on again. But here's where the parts that we've read really come together. What do you think it means when it talks about honor your father and mother, obey your father and mother, so that you can have a long life? I mean, is this passage really kind of suggesting, like, hey, if you don't listen to your mom, you're gonna drop dead? When she says clean your room, you've got about 11 minutes, and then you'll start to kind of suffocate, right? Because God's gonna make his business happen. He's going to do that, and he's going to teach you a lesson, right? I mean, it continually says that. Honor your father and mother so that you can have a long life, so you can live the life he's wanted for you. Well, here's what I think this is getting at, and this is a passage from Romans 13. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. This is a passage, maybe you've heard this or read this before, but it really takes a step back and doesn't just look at what it means to honor parents, but what does it look like to honor authority and people that God has put in a place of prominence in our lives, people that God has put essentially over us? Some of you read that and maybe you're thinking of your parents, but maybe you're also thinking of the government and how we have to pay taxes and how you got pulled over on the way to church this morning and had some choice words with a police officer, or how you don't like your boss. We all hear verses about authority and we think different things, but here's what it looks like. we need to honor the people that God has placed above us in life. We need to honor the people that God has put in authority. And for one big reason, we need to honor those people because ultimately we're called to honor them as we're honoring God. The way that you respond to authority, the way that you honor authority, is the way that you are responding to God. I'm going to say that again. The way that you respond to authority is the way that you are responding to God. And so I don't know your situation. I don't know what your parents have done. We talked about the fact that they do have some responsibility. We know that there are parents out there who are harmful and who have treated their children terrible, and that's not really what this is getting at. This is saying that parents have a responsibility to discipline and teach the Lord's love. But if they've done that, if there's relationship there, if you know them, if they've had a role in your life, if they've blessed you, your job is to honor them. Your job is to respond to them with love. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe it seems like they don't deserve it this week or this hour or this month or this lifetime. But if God has made them your parents, if God has placed them over you in authority, then the way that you respond to them is the way that you're responding to Him. Because if you say, well, God messed that up, He's clearly not the sovereign creator of the universe because He didn't know who my parents were going to be or that they were going to be such jerks and be so involved in my life and just kind of micromanage everything. So I'm going to take this into my own hands and not really honor them. And when we take things into our own hands, we're insulting His plan, we're insulting His setup, we're insulting the way that He has programmed this universe and the way that He's created everything and the authority that He has placed over us. And so the way that I respond to police officers is the way that I'm responding to God. And the way that I respond to my boss is the way that I'm responding to God. And the way that you honor your parents or the way that you don't honor your parents is the way that you are responding to God. They are one and the same. Sometimes that hurts for me to tell myself that, but it's the truth. So what does it look like to honor our parents? Because it feels like something that you would just talk about in the Greek Empire, right? The Roman Empire, just say, honor your mother and father, and not really know what we're talking about, but you think you have to wear like a wreath on your head to really accomplish it, right? And no, here's what honor looks like. And so I know that I've committed teaching suicide today. We've skipped around to some different passages, but I think that there's one more important passage that we want to look at, and this is Genesis chapter 22. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. All the way to the left, you'll find it there. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22, and this is a story about Abraham and his son, and I think it just tells us a very quick example of what honor looks like in our lives, what honor looks like in our families, from a father's perspective, from a son or a child's perspective. And so I want to read this. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Verse 2, this is God speaking. He says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. What? Yeah, that's right. That's in there. Go and sacrifice your son. And so if you don't know the background, Abraham is the man that God has promised. I will make a great nation out of your people. I'm going to build your people into my people. I'm going to bless you. Your future is going to be expanded. You're going to have all these ancestors, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. I mean, there's all these metaphors we've heard. This is a guy that God has said, I've given you a son and I'm going to build this great nation through you. And now, a few chapters later, God is saying, hey, take your son. I love that it says, yeah, your only son, in case you were thinking of another son or something, your only son who you love so much, and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Just so you know that you're allowed to think this, that is weird. Maybe you haven't read the Bible a lot. Yeah, that's super weird, and I would hope that I would never be asked to do something like that. But this is what God is saying to him in this moment. Verse 3 says this, the next morning Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there and then we will come right back. And so Abraham, up to this point, is honoring his father, God his father, who's going to make a great nation out of his people. He's doing what his father said, even though it sounds crazy and even though it involves offering his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 6, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" He's kind of starting to catch on, right? Maybe he's thinking, this is not going to turn out too well for me. Verse 8 says this, "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. And so in this situation, Isaac's starting to think, wait a minute, we need to, if you're the one doing the sacrifice and I'm here, where's the sheep? Am I about to get hurt really bad? He's starting to put the pieces together. And yet we've seen Abraham show a pattern of honoring his father, listening to God the Father. We see that same pattern here from Isaac, honoring what his dad has asked him to do. Yeah, his dad's carrying a knife. Yeah, he thinks he might be a sacrifice. Yes, this is probably a terrifying moment that sounds like it's out of some weird, weird movie that would be on late at night, right? But this is what he's seeing as his reality. And some of us like to think that our parents are crazy, right? Yeah, your dad has hopefully never done anything like this, okay? So next time you think your dad is crazy, just say like Genesis 22. Just tell yourself that over and over, right? This guy thinks his dad is about to kill him. And yet, we see this consistent thread of honoring our fathers. And so what does honor look like? Well, here's what I think honor looks like. Honor looks like listening to someone. It looks like following someone. And it looks like being given to someone. When you're honoring someone, you're listening to what they say. How many of our parents have felt dishonored because we're not listening? We already know that we're right, and so we don't need to listen to them, because they don't have anything to say that could change our opinion. Well, maybe they don't have anything to say. Maybe you are a different person. Maybe you do know your life situation better. But if you're going to honor them, maybe at some point you need to look them in the eye. You need to give them the time of day, and you need to listen to what they're saying because they care about you and care about your life. Maybe you need to follow them and let them trace a line of logic and speak into you and see if God wants to change your heart so that they know they're being listened to, they know they're being cared for, and they know they're being honored. And then be given to them. Because honestly, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes relationship to listen to someone, to follow someone's line of logic, to spend time with them. And yet that's what it looks like to honor someone. We have to listen to them, we have to follow them, we have to be given to them if we're going to honor the people that God has put in our life, our parents. Verse 9 says this of Genesis 22. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And so what does it look like to honor your parents, to honor your father, from Abraham to God the Father and from Isaac to Abraham? Sometimes you just have to point people to God and say, God is moving. You have to stop and you have to worship. And I'm sure that we see that here. It says that they stop and they prayed to God and they sacrificed this. Do you not think they had a great moment where like they were crying and sobbing? Like, "Oh, I really thought you were going to kill me there. You got me, Dad. You had me." And yet in this moment, it wasn't like, "Ha, that was so crazy." They're probably saying, "God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives." And so to love someone, to honor someone, is to point them to God, to help them worship in their life. Yes, children can point their parents to God. And yes, parents, as we've already talked about, can point their children to God. And so we need to worship if we're going to honor the people that God has placed over us in authority so that they can see that and they can be encouraged. Verse 14, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of your enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Now, I know that it had to be scary for Isaac to think, my dad is really thinking about killing me, and yet think about what happened that day. Abraham was modeling obedience. So sometimes we wonder why our kids in our lives don't want to be obedient to us, because they don't see us modeling obedience. We need to model obedience if we're going to honor the authority and honor the parents and honor the people that God has put in our lives. And so the way that you treat a police officer, the way that you talk about your boss, is the way that you're modeling how your kids should treat authority and how your kids are ultimately even going to look at God as their authority. And so it's our responsibility to model submission and love and honor to authority for people in our lives and for the children in our lives and even for our parents who are looking at us, because we're all encouraging each other at all times. And that's something that we can learn from this story. At no point did Abraham say, like, I'm walking up this stupid mountain, but I don't know what God's doing. I'm kind of tempted to just throw the knife and have us turn around and run and see how far we can get. You want to do that, Isaac? No, he continually modeled obedience, and he modeled listening to what God was doing. He honored God as his authority, and his son saw that. And he sees that when God says, I'm going to bless you, he sees that obedience pays off, and that's modeled for Isaac. And if you model that, that's going to be repeated. And so what's the last step that honor can look like? I think that when we set a pattern of honor in our lives, when we set a pattern of submitting to authority, of loving authority, of honoring authority, it's modeled for the people around us. It encourages the people around us. And that's going to catch on. It's going to be cyclical. It's going to be something that our kids do because they've seen it modeled for them, and it's going to be repeated. Some of you may do the laundry in your home, and you've seen a phrase that says, like, wash, rinse, repeat, or something. That's kind of the same thing here. I mean, we can see this and say that if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to honor our parents, we need to continually follow in these steps so that it will be repeated, so that it will happen generation after generation after generation. And if we're seeing a break in honor, you can expect that break to continue. And the only way that break or that small gap where there's no honor will really be put to death, will really be stopped, is for us to restore honor, for us to listen to our parents, for us to care about what they're saying, for us to be obedient to them, and for us to submit to God's authority as we're submitting to the authorities that he's put in our lives. So if you're dependent on your parents, you need to obey them. If you don't want to do that, God's the bad guy. He said it in his word, not me, all right? Now, if you're dependent to your parents, you need to obey them, because that's the role that he's placed in your life. If you're independent from your parents, you need to honor them. What does honor look like? We talked about that. And what's the job of a parent? If they're going to be honored, they need to be speaking discipline and instruction from God into your life. And we even said the way that you respond to authority is the way that you are responding to God. And so honor your parents, honor authority that God has placed in your life. Listen, follow, be given to that authority. Worship and point that authority to God. Point those that are watching you to God. Model obedience so that obedience can be caught and can continue. And repeat that model so that it will continue for generation after generation after generation. I don't know who your family is. I don't know who your parents are. I don't know the authority in your life that you're struggling with. But I know that God's word is pretty clear on this topic. And this is what he's called us to do. This is who he's called us to be. He's called us to be obedient to the authority that he's placed in our life, to honor the authority that he's placed in our life. Because ultimately, we're not saying, hey, boss, hey, police officer, hey, mom and dad that I'm not really fond of right now, I'm following you. We're ultimately saying, God, I give you my life. I trust you. I trust that you put this authority in my life. You put this person in my life. You put this position and their role in my life. And I'm submitting to you. I'm following you. And I trust your plan. And I trust what you've created. And that's what we want to see as people who are running after Christ. Whether that's a new thing for us, whether that's something we've been doing for 20 years, this is something we all struggle with and something we struggle with in the flow of a family. And so it's a good checkpoint. How am I responding to the authority that God has placed in my life? Because that's ultimately the way that you're responding to God and the way that you're following him. Will you pray with me? God, thanks for today. Thanks for a chance to be together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, sometimes that your word is clear and sometimes probably just smacks us in the face with things that we need to hear. Lord, we want to be obedient to you, and that means that we need to be obedient to the authority you've placed over us. God, I pray if there's anyone in the room who needs to make something right with their parents, needs to make something right with a boss, needs to make something right with someone that they have dishonored, Lord, I pray that you'll put that heavy on their heart and that they'll take care of that today and this week. God, we want to find our way back to you, and that means continual steps of obedience And sometimes, whether we're a Christian or not, that means humbling ourselves and getting ourselves right with authority. And so I pray that we'll be a church that's marked by that. I pray that we'll be a church that people can see you in our lives and your presence in our lives by the way we submit to you and also by the way we submit to earthly authorities. So God, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to be together as your church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.